All right. Happy Wednesday to everybody. I said it again and again and again. Live stream, love you. And here on YouTube, happy Veterans Day again to all of our veterans. We thank the Lord for you. Thank you for your service to our country. And really, it ought to be Worldwide Veterans Day because we do so much around the world. So I believe the world owes our veterans a debt of great gratitude for sure. Okay. All right. Last time we got together, Revelation Road. I hope y'all getting blessed with this, and it's really helping you see some things. I know it's a lot of information, and so you're going to have to go back and re-listen and get the CDs or what have you. And I know the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth as you study more and more and just get it deep into your heart. So I'm looking forward to the remainder of this teaching. So we just thank the Lord. Father, thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and lead us into all truth as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, last time it was basically part 7. It was kind of that part 2. I was talking about the sorrows and the birth pangs, and I gave you that definition of that, the sorrows, talking about the travail and the birth pangs that are coming on the face of the earth. In fact, we're right there. We're in the contractions. We're in the moment of pain, as you could tell, and as you were living, as you went into 2020 in the beginning, it was like, wow, what in the world's happening here? My life is upside down. Life is changing. This is going way too fast. And, we deal with things the best that we possibly can based on what's coming at us. But sometimes it just gets overwhelming, doesn't it? No matter if you're male or you're female, it doesn't matter. When life comes at you this way, it becomes overwhelming. But the peace that passes all understanding is inside of us, and we have the mind of Christ. And that's why we need to study eschatology. Eschatology is just a theological word for end times, understanding the times. And I love just calling it Revelation Road, because we're headed to the appearance, the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ. So last time we got together, we dealt with some of these things, and we'll recap that. Matthew chapter 24, if you go throw that up for me, verse 8. We'll probably do a couple more verses after that. But Matthew chapter 24, verse 8, and it talks about the beginning of the sorrows, okay? So all these are the beginning of sorrows, what Jesus was talking to the disciples about, and then what he was before and then after. He's saying this is the beginning of sorrows. What you see in your in the coming future is the birth pangs. So go to verse 9. And then it says, "And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Again, we kind of chuckled last time because it's just something you don't hear people preach about. But, you know, there's something odd about life. There is death. There's something about the beginning of life. There's the ending of life. There's something about, you know, the plan that God has. And it's not to focus on the end. It's just to be aware of it. Let me try that again. It's not the focus on it. We're not fatalists. We're people of great hope and people of great joy. And the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. And we're going to need the strength of the Lord in the last days. But Jesus, which I'm so thankful, gave us warnings. He gave us warning signs that these would be indications of the birth pangs and of the travail and the sorrows so that we can get ready for his appearance. Again, if we would just, you know, I'm not saying to overlook things as I'm reading right here, but to not capitalize on that, but capitalize on his appearance. I think if we do that, then that gives us the hope and the strength to endure these things. And so they're going to deliver you up. Go to verse 10, please. And then then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Well, we see that all the time. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Verse 12, and because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So we know that's speaking of the church. I said it last week. You know, there was a time when you know, you went into church and you felt the love of God, you felt the love of the people, you know, you felt accepted, and it was a wonderful thing. I remember as a young boy, and you could tell me your testimonies as well, you know, going in there and you just felt love. Now, you know, there was always issues. Church always had issues. I mean, the color of the carpet wasn't right, or somebody did this or whatever. That's natural. But the joy and knowing that you were accepted was awesome. And I remember that. And I believe we have that same feeling here. Verse 13. But he that shall endure, everybody say endure, unto the end the same shall be saved. So we know the word saved that means sozo. So why would he tell me to endure to the end if I'm being raptured? You know, where's my end? Is my end at the beginning of the rapture? No, the end is the end. He's talking to the disciples about the end because they want to know about his appearance. So he says, okay, I'm going to tell you about my appearance, but these are the things that are going to have to happen towards the end. So if you put two and two together as a good detective, you know where he's headed. He's headed to the end to talk about his appearance. It's very simple, but again, you need a theologian to mess you up. You need somebody that has A, B, C, D, E, F, G after their name in theology to mess you up instead of just reading the Bible for what the Bible says. And I look at it this way, and I say this many times. Jesus would not leave the most important information to the entire world, to the entire final generation. He wouldn't leave out information and leave us wondering and wondering what in the world are we going to do in these particular days. He wouldn't do that. Because why? First of all, he's a great, great father, and he's a provider, and he's the truth. He's the way, he's life, he's all those things. So he's not going to put us in darkness and confusion. Now, you do have to study the matter out. But if you would study with all the other influences, you could read Matthew chapter 24 and see what's happening and where we're headed. Okay? So the same shall be saved. All right. Next verse. And this gospel, everybody say this gospel, of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto the nations, and then shall the end come. So this gospel, which is the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of his parousia, has to be preached to the whole world, and then the end will come. So if I take that scripture, as we talked about last week, I begin to see something very clearly, that the end time message is the message of his kingdom and his coming. His appearance. Not just all the bad stuff, but that's part of it. It's the fact that he's coming. Christ the King is coming. And that's the news and the heralding news, the proclamation that we have to declare, decree to all the world, especially when you see these days coming. I emphasized this last week, and I want to say it again. That doesn't mean faith goes away, the teaching on healing goes away, the teaching on prosperity, giving, none of those principles go away. They just now have an end-time understanding. Now they come into focus of why you give, why you pray, why you fast. Okay? And then we apply it to the kingdom message of the hour. So those are some of the things that we went over. I gave you the word endure, which means to remain, to be preserved under unfortunate circumstances. I mean, when you read that, the rapture doesn't sound like an unfortunate circumstance. If it's a pre-tribulation rapture and I'm out of here for all the bad stuff happens, so what's my misfortune? My mother-in-law's coming over? I mean, you know, I gotta hang out with grandpa's so-and-so or uncle. We had Uncle Carl. Uncle Carl's a family member. He's passed already, but he loves cigars. You know, when I was a little kid, here comes Uncle Carl, and he'd be like a train. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't breathe. You know, I'm 6 years old, I need oxygen. Anybody have a cousin, an uncle, an aunt, somebody, you know, whatever. There's something about family, especially during the holidays, it's like, oh my gosh. No, that's not the misfortunate. Maybe to you it's pretty bad. But this is talking about the last days. He's talking about tribulation. He says he's going to endure. You're going to remain, and he's going to provide. He's going to make a way, and he's going to bring you to a safe place, sozo. So I don't see how anybody, except by taking Scripture and twisting it to make it fit for their own lives and to sell books, I don't know how you get what you get, but that's what you get when you twist things. All right? So we talked about some other things. We'll go ahead and go to the board. And again, for those on live stream, those on YouTube, I'm sorry. Again, we're going to make our lines, our one line to start, go across, another line, kind of like a field goal, but much longer. And what's that? What? Look at that! Now, you see, I did all that with... No, I didn't do that. Awesome! That's great. Jennifer looks great. That's exactly right. Okay, so now you're awesome. She told me, she says, I'm working on something. I'm like, all right, go for it. See, all that sending her to night school and all that has really paid off. It has done good. I'm just messing. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and y'all can look. Now y'all don't want to look at mine. You want to look at hers. But that's okay. I need to do it anyway so that we can get in sync together. So PT, pre-tribulation, we talked about that. Then we have the mid. Okay, we talked about the Daniel 70th week. So we put 1 week. Okay, and that's 7 years. A heptad, right? 7 years. And so when we talked last time, we were mentioning Daniel chapter 9. Go to Matthew first. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. I'm going to recap on this, and I'm going to bounce off of it. And it's very good. Everybody say very good. To be repetitive in teaching. Okay? That's why I go back, and then I overlay, and then I give you new stuff. So there's a reason why I do that. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. So stop for a second. We know that there is going to be a temple built before or right at the time of tribulation, the signing of a peace treaty, a seven-year peace treaty. But Jesus gave us a sign and a signal. He said that there is going to be something, an event, that's going to kick off the great tribulation. There's going to be something that's just going to split it right down the middle evenly and fairly. There's a reason I'm using the word fair, because and I'm going to show it to you later. I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I'll get back to it about how God does things when it comes to spiritual warfare. God is fair. God gives the devil his opportunity to do what he needs to do, okay? Because God is justified in the end. So that's all I'll say about that. Those that listen to my Revelation teaching, you know what I'm talking about. So he says there's going to be an event. So he tells us, here it is. Now go to verse 16. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And we'll do one more because he's talking about, let him which is on the housetop not come down, take anything out of the house. So it's going to be something pretty tremendous. I'm going to stop right there for a second. It's going to be a pretty tremendous situation that's going to cause folks not to, move about and whatever you're going to do, get into shelter, get into to a safe place. Now go to Daniel chapter 9. Let's look at verse 27. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Again, keeping that timeline up there. I still think mine's beautiful, man. Thank you. And he shall confirm the covenant with many. Everybody say many. For 1 week. So we know there's going to be a seven-year contract, seven-year peace treaty. Doesn't matter what you call it. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the what? Desolate. So it's agreeing together, obviously. Daniel spoke it first. Jesus reiterated. He quoted it. So we know of an absolute that there is going to be not only a peace treaty, a peace covenant, a peace agreement with the Antichrist and the state of Israel and other players, if you will, within the Middle East. Really, the world's going to get together. Are we watching the building blocks now? Yes. Now, there's people on YouTube saying the peace treaty's been signed and all that. That's phony baloney. It doesn't happen that way. Be careful of all this stuff, even with the vaccine and the mark of the beast. Be careful, because there are prophetic timelines that must be met before they can come to pass. No other way. This is why I teach prophetic precursors. Everything is a precursor. Certain presidents, certain world leaders are precursors to the Antichrist. There are certain events that happen in our world that are precursors. The Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam, all these things are precursors to what? Armageddon. Remember, in that hour, our great teachers of that day, when they were involved in World War I and World War II, that was it. It was Armageddon. You got to go back to some of this old teaching and read some of the writings that these guys had. They really thought that was it. I remember my dad telling me when man went to the moon, and how that in that generation, they were like, man, blood on the moon, and it was so many things happening that this was it. How many of y'all know? We've lived a little while, haven't we, since the 50s and what have you, in that time frame that different things took place. So we have to be careful, and we have to judge things according to Scripture, not YouTube. Let me try that again. You have to judge it according to Scripture, not somebody's dream. There's people that probably will not receive this teaching. The Holy Spirit reminded me of this today. There's people that will not receive what I'm going to teach them about pre-tribulation because they either had a dream, had a vision, or somebody gave them a dream or gave them a vision, and they're locked on that instead of Scripture. Well, I can't deliver you from that until you open your eyes to Scripture. Somebody needed to hear exactly what I just said. I can't deliver you from that. Only truth can. Because somebody will say, well, I believe it was real. I believe you believe it was real. But if it don't add up with Scripture, it ain't of God. Pepperoni pizza's good, but, you know, careful when you eat it. Come on, somebody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but when it comes to Scripture, you're going to get offended, because we have to stay upon line upon line, precept upon precept, so we don't get deceived and we get fooled. But I know there's people out there, and it's a shame that you would believe a dream or vision or somebody's prophetic utterance more than the Bible. But I'm going to give you Scripture and Scripture and Scripture and Scripture, and you'll have to live with it and make a decision. All right? So, PT, pre-tribulation rapture view, says that, okay, as soon as the ink is dried on this covenant, and you know, 99% of the theologians and eschatology teachers agree, there's a covenant, there's a seven-year peace treaty. But again, the pre-tribulationists believe, and like many of us were taught in this room and those watching, we're out of here, we're gone, then all hell breaks loose. How many of y'all remember that? You're sitting, you know, at the table. Next thing you know, your shoes have smoke in them. Your pants and your shirts are folded real nice. And here comes your backslidden son and daughter into the kitchen going, ah, what happened? It doesn't work that way. I mean, it really scares people. It's pretty actually kind of cool to scare them that way. But that's not the way it works. So we agree with at least the covenant part. So we know, again, we're building on this from last week, we know there has to be a temple built. You can throw yours back up there if you want to. That way they can kind of see it. There has to be that temple that is built there, or Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, it can't come to pass. Because how can you have sacrifices, how can you have these offerings? Were they going to do it in the backyard? They're going to do it in the temple. Okay? And we're not even getting into Thessalonians about the showing of the Antichrist. I'll get into that at another juncture, should time permit. And actually, I've already gone over that. So we know that the Antichrist is going to exalt himself above God. He's going to make blasphemous things, say blasphemous things, and do these things to where that begins the great tribulation. So this is a sign for us. Now, I won't get into to these first 3.5 years yet. I might get into it later, but right now, I just want to do a general overview. So we all agree there has to be a temple built. Jesus has given us a midpoint description, signal, and sign of what's going to take place. We know it's the abomination that causes desolation. We know the Antichrist is pretty good for the first 3.5 years of fooling the folks. That's right. He's going to fool the folks into believing there's peace. Never have we had peace like we have now. This is awesome. Israel's at peace with her neighbors, so on and so forth, until that midpoint when he exalts himself against God and says that he's God, and then he commits that act upon the altar. There's several theological views of that, and I can throw a couple out. Some say it would be an immoral act. Some say it will be sacrificing swine or something's unclean animal because of the ritual ceremonies that are going on. I lean more towards that. But whatever it is, it causes everybody to just flip out. And then his true character begins to come out. Then everybody goes, uh-oh. Things begin to change. Now, I want you to see this because Jesus, during these first 3.5 years, we deal with the wrath of the Lamb, and I told you that's part of purifying the church. It's also part of bringing in the final harvest. But it isn't till this midpoint when the devil says that he's God that God says, okay, buddy, now you're fixing to deal with me. I'm going to allow you to have your time of wrath, but you're fixing to get my wrath because I'm God. Okay, so it gets very, very interesting, to say the least. So we talked about that. Go to Daniel chapter 12, and let's look at a few things here. We'll start at verse 8. Did everybody get that? Is that pretty good? Does it help you understand? Again, there's a lot of things I can fill in right here, and that's fine if I go into the book of Revelation and teach that. But I need to get these out here because the reason why I'm headed this way and I'm omitting some of this is because the next theological view is a mid-tribulation rapture. A mid-tribulation rapture. What is that? It's very simple. It's the same as the pre-trib. The pre-trib says that we're out of here before tribulation starts. Mid-trib theological view is that we're out of here right when the great tribulation starts. So we're going to talk about that and look at that. Is that cool? Okay. So watch this. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Okay. Whatever Daniel saw, it just blew him away. And he said, go that way, Daniel, for the words are closed and sealed, are sealed up. Closed up and sealed till the time of the end. When? To the time of the end. So what happens at the time of the end? You ready? An acceleration of revelatory knowledge. What happens at the end? An acceleration of revelatory knowledge about the end times, about the kingdom, about Scripture. I mean, God is revealing some tremendous things. Again, I'm not talking about the Yoplait dreams. Or the granola dreams. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the Fruit Loop stuff. I'm talking about, line upon line, precept upon precept. Mighty, mighty things that God is doing. An example I love to use is the children of Brazil and other South American countries where God is literally using children. China, the underground church where the dead are being raised and tremendous miracles are taking place. And they worship. I watched this video where they worship for 8, 9, 10, 12 hours in secret locations. They had this one pastor come and asked him to preach. And he said, sure, I'll come preach. And he said, well, we need you to preach from 7 in the morning to 8 at night. He said, well, what about giving the break? He said, no, you don't have to give us a break. And then they said very sheepishly, can you come back the next day? He said, yeah, from 7 until 8 o'clock. It was incredible. And I remember we watched that video, and I was just like in awe. I knew these stories, but to see them again was absolutely amazing. Why am I saying that? I'm just saying because in the last days, God is going to pour out His Spirit. So my focus is two-pronged. Yes, I'm looking for His parousia, but I'm also looking for His power. I'm looking for the glory, okay? But it's going to come. It's going to come through revelation. All right, so it's coming to the end. Verse 10. Many shall be purified. Wait a minute. Many shall be purified. He that endures to the end, the same shall be safe. There is an enduring process. There's persecution coming. How am I made purified? I'm made purified by pressure. I'm made purified by all the things that I go through, all of my hardships, the things I don't like. Okay? You got to eat your vegetables, right? They always say they make you strong, give you big bones, what have you. Many shall be purified and made white and what? Tried. That don't sound like a rapture. When is he talking to Daniel about? The end. When would revelation come? At the end. And as revelation comes, this comes with it. In fact, you don't get revelation unless you get this. You've got to be purified. You've got to go through some stuff. But the wicked shall do wickedly. So now I'm reading something else here. Watch this parallel. I'm reading the wheats and the tares. I'm seeing that there's the wheat that are growing up. They're golden. They're ready for harvest. They're beautiful. But then I see the tares. What is what? Which is what? The wicked. The wicked are growing with us. We will always have the wicked around us. And they're going to get wickeder. Wickeder? Wickeder. That's hillbilly right there. They're going to get wickeder. That's bad. That's badder. They're going to get real, it's going to get terrible. And for people to pray, you know, make all these bad people go away, that ain't going to happen. They are going to continue. They're going to grow. They're going to be like spores. I mean, that's the way it is. Now, I still pray for salvation. I pray for people to get saved. But I also understand they're going to get dirtier and dirtier. Watch this. And none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. What, you seeing this with me? The wicked don't understand. I don't know why this is going on. I don't know why we got a pandemic. I don't even believe it. It's hokey pokey. But the wise believe it. The wise understand because they get an end time understanding of what's going on. We're not fooled. We're not fooled with what they're trying to do. Well, I mentioned the precursor for the vaccine and all. You know, we're not fooled by what they're up to. So we don't panic. We don't flip out. We just say, okay, I got you. I know what you're doing. I'm going to watch you. I'm going to watch Scripture. Your time just ain't yet. It's coming. But you ain't going to fool me in my house. All right, so let's go on. And from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abominations that make desolate set up, there shall be 1,190 days. Okay, so now he's getting into the time frame of what we're talking about here in the beginning of tribulation to the midpoint. Okay, so now I want you to go to, let's see where I want to take you to. No, go to verse, give me the next verse on that, because I don't think I have it written down here where I wanted to go next on that. You was at Daniel chapter 12, I think you're in verse 10 somewhere in there. Hit that for me real quick. Yeah, there you go. Blessed he that waiteth and cometh to 1,335 days. Okay, go one more. But go that way until the end, for thou shalt rest and stand in the lot at the end of thy days. That's it. Okay, so that was not what I wanted you to give me. Go ahead and go to, let's see, I gave you Daniel chapter 12. Go to Revelation chapter 12 real quick. Revelation chapter 12, that's what I wanted you to go to. So he's talking about trouble, okay? He's talking about there's going to be times of perplexity, there's going to be times of trouble. And Daniel's prophesying what he sees. Jesus is echoing what Daniel had said and what he sees. Okay? So we're going to Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Let's start there. And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out from the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Stop right there for a second. If you go back up into verse 1, it is talking about the war that is made against Israel. Okay? Talking about all of this taking place because, again, it's a war not only against the saints, but it's also against the plan of God and what God had planned. In fact, go to verse 1. We'll come back down real quick on that so I can give you, try not to preach all of or teach all of Revelation. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Talking about Israel. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. I'm not going to get into all that detail yet. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Who is it talking about? Talking about Jesus. And her child was caught up into God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. What is that? 3.5 years. Is that right? So at the midpoint, again, I'm trying to get all this into a Wednesday night teaching, but I'll go over it again and again. The abomination that causes desolation, they're in their time of sacrifice. They have the temple. Everything seems to be going good as far as the state of Israel is concerned, as far as religion is concerned. Of course, the wrath of the Lamb, the things are taking place. But then, all of a sudden, Jesus said there would be a signal, and that would be at mid part of that tribulation or that covenant time of the seven years, and that's when the enemy would declare he is God, as I spoke earlier. Then there becomes great wrath against Israel, and what happens to Israel? Where do they go? They go to Petra, which is in Jordan. Which is very interesting because according to the Psalms 83 war, now some say that the Psalms 83 war has already taken place back on the Six-Day War. That's debatable. Some say that there's still some wars for Israel that considered the Psalms 83 war, and that in that Israel will get back more land, which includes Jordan. Either way, it's still interesting that Petra is there today. It's a carved out city within the rocks, and they will have refuge, and God will watch over them. Isn't that very interesting? Okay, so let's go on. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. All right, to go on to verse 10, I think is where we stopped at. Didn't prevail. Yep, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Okay. So that's what I wanted to stop right there on that particular note. Now go to Revelation chapter 13 and let's look at these two comparisons. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. Yeah, verse 7. Sorry about that. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all the kindreds, tongues, and nations. So what happens in Revelation 13, verse 7, is that the beast system, the whole the Antichrist, the whole nine yards comes against the saints. Well, wait a minute now. Here's my point. It was a little choppy to put this together for you. If there is a mid-tribulation rapture, then why is there a war on the saints? If I'm out of here, there shouldn't be any saints. Now, I know what the comeback is. I've studied this, and I know what their comeback is. Those are the tribulation saints. Listen, you can't get peaceful saints today to fight. Do you really think with all this coming down, the wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of Satan, everything's happening, do you think, and I put hope in people, but do you really think that army is going to be mustered together with newbies? It's not. God's going to need his generals. God's going to need his folks. And again, it's hard to digest because we're like, no, that can't happen. He that endures when? To the end, the same shall be safe. Under fortunate situations, I'm going to be preserved. The Lord's going to watch over us. So I'm already past that. I'm already good for the battle. I know God's going to take care of me, so I'm not worried about that. So there's going to be a tremendous war on the saints. But read it again. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. In other words, that system was allowed to make war with the saints. Who gave him the power? God. Who gave him the authority? God. You see, God uses the church, the mystery of the church, to show his power. It's the oddest thing if you really look at it. It's almost, you know, if you have a secular mind, you can't understand it. This is why atheists don't understand religion. They don't understand Christianity. But why would God entrust the generations and humanity to a cross, to a Bible, and to a people to believe it? That's just the way it is. He set it up that way. And there's power in faith. And there's power believing in God to do the miraculous. In fact, he needs you to work through. So when we believe, then we'll see the miracles and we see what God wants to do in the end times. And so he allows that to happen. I liken it to this way. It's like, go ahead, hit him with your best shot. Let's see what you got. All right? And to overcome them, and power was given over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And so this is a tremendous type of system, this beast system, that is moving across the earth at that time. Well, what is the signal? Right there. The abomination that causes desolation. It's like a huge explosion of all of a sudden war and trembling and troubles. And it never before had there been a time like this. Okay? So we get to see that. So there'll be that war. I don't have the scripture in front of me, but in Revelation chapter 12, you can go down there and look for it. But it talks about how that they come against the seed, the remnant seed of this woman, which speaks of the church. We come out of that. We come out of that whole system. Okay? And so we know there's a setup of a war against us. Again, Revelation 13:7. Pins it down perfectly, but prior to that, we get a type and shadow of what's going to happen in Revelation chapter 12. Okay? So, for a mid-tribulation rapture, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit unless you use the theological view that everybody that's left behind, the newbies or whatever, they're just going to go ahead and fight the good fight of faith. And it doesn't fit. And I'll show you another area why it doesn't fit. Matthew chapter 24, 16 through 21. Let's go there real quick. Is this cool? I know it's a lot. And I'm sorry, but that's why you just got to go back and study it. You got to take your time. Folks, you know, contact me and say, man, I'm listening again and again and again. And that's what you have to do. Okay? We got it? Oh, here we go. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So we started that out earlier. And let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? I mean, I'd like to get I have some stuff at the house I'd like to go get. Can you think of a problem so bad that you can't go home and pick up your stuff? By the way, it doesn't do too good for survivalists who have your go bag and you left your go bag somewhere. All that money. Sorry, leave it. Neither let them which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Oh my gosh. This sounds like we got some problems. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray you that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now stop right there. He's talking about what? The abomination that causes desolation. He basically says, not putting words at all into the Lord's mouth, but we'll just say it this way. All bad stuff breaks out, okay? All stuff, bad stuff just breaks out right at mid-trib, right at the abomination that causes desolation. And then he goes on and warns them, don't do this and don't do that. But look what he says. But pray you that your flight be not in the winter. Well, if I'm out of here, why do I need these instructions? Well, see, now he's transitioning to the Jews. That's what he's doing. No, he's not. He's talking to the disciples. Again, would Jesus take the risk of giving the greatest keys that Daniel was to seal them up and they're revealed through Jesus in the last days, through the Holy Ghost to us today? Do you think he would hide that and give it to a non-believing people? He wouldn't do that. He doesn't cast his pearls among swine, which means this. He doesn't throw things away that are valuable of the kingdom. He gives it to whoever's hungry. And he knew over the generations and generations of people would read it and be hungry to know truth, like we are tonight. So it's revealed to us very easily if we open our eyes. So we know it's speaking of us. It's speaking of tribulation, great tribulation. So why would he give me those instructions if I'm to be raptured here at the pre-trib? And then why would he give me those instructions if I'm out of here at the mid-trib? Because this is talking thereafter. And he's not talking to the lost because he said pray. Right? Verse 21. And it says, for then shall be great tribulation such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. Daniel said the same thing. Daniel said it would be a time of trouble. There would be war. I don't have time to go back to that. But if you take that and transpose that over into Revelation chapter 12 and then Revelation chapter 13, you can see what they're talking about is that mid-tribulation time where Michael gets involved, where great war takes place on the saints. And all of this fits together. You have to go back and listen to me again. But it's like Legos. It goes snap. If you listen, it's snap, 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 snap. And you can walk on it because it's truth. Okay? Some of the stuff that people put out there, be careful, you might fall through. Is that right? Revelation chapter 12 speaks of safety. Revelation 12:17. Go there. That's the scripture. I had it written down here. I hadn't got to these notes yet, so I was still working on from last time. Let me see if that's right. Yeah, right here. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Who's that? The church. Well, how do you know? Who kept the commandments of God? Who have the testimony of Jesus Christ? Do non-believing Jews have the testimony of Jesus Christ? No. Do the Hindus and the Muslims, blah, blah, blah? No, 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 no. That's Christians. Is that right? So there's that war that I was talking about. So there is no mid-trib rapture. It doesn't happen then. And besides, watch this. In this whole thing right here that I just read to you, and there's more that I can give to you, but this is just the basics. 42 months, 3.5 years, right here, this going this way, 3.5 years from this point. Do you see Jesus there? The parousia? Do you see anything I told you in the beginning that were your keys? You got to go back to the beginning teaching to look at the keys, the little legend I gave you. If you don't find that there, you don't find the rapture. Simply put. And I won't argue with anybody, but you have to show me where those keys are to get me out of here, because I can't go nowhere just because you said that's a good place to leave. You got to give me facts. I got to do what Jesus said after the tribulation of those days. After is over here. After is not there. It's this way. Everybody say it's that away, you know? So let's talk about that real quick. How much time I got? 3 days? Good. I love Bible conferences. You can just stay all night. Would you give me 10 minutes? And then that way I can turn this page and then I had that on this notes. I was still over here. That's how much information I had just on one page from last week tied into this week. All right. So there's no mid-trib. Okay, Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. Let me give you these couple words here. Is it still up there? All right, throw it up there for me. For then there shall be great tribulation. Now here the word great is megas, M-G-A-S, M-E-G-A-S, megas, M-E-G-A-S. That's 31, 37. And tribulation, I'm just going to spell this for you, is THLIPBIS, THLIPBIS, and that's 2347. And what does it mean? It means pressure. Jesus is saying there's going to be mega pressure. Okay? Verse 22, you don't have to go there, Jennifer, but verse 22, says, well, you did. That's cool. And except those days be what? Shortened. And we'll get into that later if I get into the full teaching of the book of Revelation. There's a shortening of time. There should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. God's not going to shorten the days for the heathen. He's coming to judge the earth. He's coming to judge the unrighteous nations. He's not going to shorten the days for those who took the mark. He's doing it for who? The elect. Who's the elect? Me and you. Sometimes we don't feel too elected, but we're elected. Okay, we don't need a recount either. That was a little drum roll there. All right? Unless those days be shortened. All right? And here's the deal. Daniel talked about times of great trouble. Jesus spoke to this. There'll never be a time like this ever again. So it's a great... This is horrible, the wrath of the Lamb. We get into the seals and different things, but when you come here on, it's over. As far as what's going to happen, it's going to be so bad, God has to shorten the days. And we'll be here. And I'm going to show it to you. You say, well, I still don't know where the rapture is. Hang on, you're going to get there. Okay? Verse 29. And it says what? Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Okay, so keep that in mind. Okay, you can write these scriptures down here, just so you have them. These are other places where the rapture is mentioned. Mark chapter 13, 24 through 27. Luke 21, 25 through 27. Mark 13, 24 through 27. Luke 21, 25 through 27. Now, I think because I'm really running out of time, I'm just going to give you these scriptures, and I guess if Jennifer could throw them up real fast, that's fine. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, real fast. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Everybody say heaven. With a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump. Everybody say trump. The trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 52. I mentioned some of this on the last couple teachings, but I want to do it again. Behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, at the what? The last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Then I want you to go to Matthew chapter 24, 30 through 31. Matthew chapter 24, 31. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see. Everybody say see. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Say heaven. With power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together the elect, his elect from the four winds and from the one end of heaven to the other. Now, I just gave you those three scriptures. And all three of those scriptures or areas of scripture all have the word trumpet. Okay? Now, they represent the rapture, correct? Absolutely. So, did you find a trumpet yet here in mid-trib? There's my big X on my beautiful drawing. Nope. Did you find the trumpet over here? Nope. Didn't find it. You found some trumpets over here, but you didn't find the final trumpet. You didn't find the final blast, did you? Nope. Because it's not there. It can't be there. It's impossible. And you do not have the right, no matter what your name is, whatever books you are written, you don't have the right to cut and paste and try to put something that's not there. And that's what they've done with these books. Okay? So Jesus left us some clues about the trump of God. All right? 1 Corinthians 15, the one we just read there, verse 52, what trump was it? The last trump. So now, again, as I gave you that legend and those things you have to find, and we will together, where is the last trump? Where is that last blow? Where's that last sound? Well, so far it ain't nowhere else. So all that theology is wrong. Every one of us has been taught pre-trib and mid-trib. Me-tribbing, man. So sorry. You know, great books, great movies, great men of God, women of God, but it's not so. It can't be. Well, Jesus is going to do something different. He's going to change it up for us. No, he's not. People think that we get a pass. We're going to prophesy this thing. Well, you're going to be out of breath. Watch this. The word clouds in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, and Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. Don't go there. Just write it down. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 and Matthew 24:30 both use the same Greek word. And I'm going to give it to you. N-E-P-H-E-L-E. N-E-P-H-E-L-E. 3507 in the Greek if you want to study it. It's the same exact word. Why? Why is it the same word? Because it describes the same event. Here's wild part number two. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 mentions trumpet. Matthew 24:31 mentions trumpet, as we went over. 1 Corinthians 15:52 mentions trumpet. It's the same Greek word, S-A-L-P-I-G-X. S-A-L-P-I-G-X. 4536. It's the same thing. So they're using, the writers are using at several different time periods. Are you with me? Here's the gospel. You know, here's Paul's writing. Here's what Jesus said. Using the same descriptive word to describe the same event. It's done on purpose. It's a connection and a clue for you and I if we're going to study. If we're just going to use grammatical mannerism to prove it, we can sit here and prove it all day long. Okay? The Greek word for heaven in two of those books, the same word is used. So we have clouds, we have trumpet, we have heaven. Okay? So again, I ask you, where is the trumpets? Where's the clouds? Where's the parousia? Where's the resurrection? Where is all these things right at these two positions I just described to you? Where are they? They're not there. They're simply not there. And if we were in a court of law prosecuting somebody, well, right now we'd have to say, based on the information, this person over here is innocent. There's no facts for them. They didn't commit the crime. But when we start moving this way, we're going to get to the facts. And we're going to find out the truth of it. How's that? Is that cool? All right, so that took me out of those notes that I wanted to finish up with you. And again, a lot of information. I know it's just a lot, but go back, take your time, you know, listen to it, pause. The beautiful thing about the internet, you know, it's free and it's right there for you. And then take your Bible, your notepad, and your pen and study it out. But most of all, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation. Father, thank you so much for this night and for this opportunity to just study the Bible and come to an understanding about the parousia, about your coming, your appearance, Lord. We want to be ready, because when we know when you're coming, we'll know how to prepare. We'll know how to get all things ready. We'll know how to endure to the end, because we know what we'll have to endure. And so, Lord, thank you for the teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. Again, happy Veterans Day to all of our veterans. I'll see you Sunday.